Blog Talk Radio.
Ahoy, ahoy. Hello and welcome to Poetry Super Highway Live. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the May 2017 edition of our monthly open reading. I'm so happy to have you with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for considering calling in and reading poetry. That's what it's all about. Of course, it's an open reading and we want to hear your poems. My name is Rick Lupert. I'm the MC of the show, the host, the master of ceremonies, the guy with the microphone in front of him talking to you. That is me. And I invite you to call in and read a poem. The number to call in is area code 646-716-7362. It's area code 646-716-7362. It'd be great to hear your poem. I'll be on the air for the next hour until 3 p.m. Pacific, unless, of course, you're listening to this show in the future, in the archive edition, in which case it could be any time at all. I don't know what time it is there, if it's the future. I just know it's the future. And I bet it's a fantastic, amazing world that you've created for yourselves. Maybe I participated. I don't know. Anyway, hello. Thanks for being here. So again, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. I want to tell you about some things going on in Poetry Superhighway land. First of all, we are approaching rapidly our summer poetry contest. That's going to start in at the end of June, maybe the very beginning of July, probably about a week or two earlier than it has in the past, mainly because just my summer travel plans are going to be, well, at a different time of year than they normally are, so I'll be starting the contest a little bit earlier. So the contest isn't open right now, but what is open right now is our call for submissions of poetry contest sponsors. So I don't know if you're familiar with our contest, but the way it works is people enter the contest. There's a $1 per poem entry fee. 100% of that money gets divided up between the top three scoring poets. The poets are scored by three judges, scored blindly, meaning the names are removed from the poems that are submitted to the judges. The judges are typically individuals who previously scored high or won at previous year's contest. And there you go. And we have lots of people who enter. So in addition to the entry fee, the 100% of the entry fee being divided up between the top three scoring poets, what we've been able to do every single year of the contest, and this upcoming contest is our 20th year doing it, and we hope to be able to do it again, we've been able to give every single person who's entered the contest a prize just for entering, which is pretty cool. So even if you don't win the contest, and by winning meaning you come in one of the top three scoring positions, you score, you know, everyone else I consider tied for fourth place. There you go. Even if you don't win the contest, every single person has received something just for entering. Very often it's a book of poetry. It could be an anthology. It could be we've had photography prints. We've had subscriptions to journals. We've had sessions of advice from poets who give workshops and that kind of thing, ebooks sometimes, every single person has got something just for entering. So where do those prizes come from? Well, that's a fine question. They come from you. They come from our sponsors. And so far this year, we have 27 people signed up as sponsors, and there's about 60 prizes donated so far. And all of those prizes will be distributed among our contest entrants, and that's it. So if you think you might be interested in sponsoring, please go to the Poetry Superhighway website, poetrysuperhighway.com/PSH, and right at the top there, there's a little a banner that says, Sponsor the 2017 Poetry Superhighway Contest. Click on that, and all the All the info is there. What is all the info? Basically, you have to fill out a form which includes what prizes that you will are agreeing to donate. It could be as little as one book, but if you can give more, that's great too. You have to be specific about it. Like, for example, don't just say the book this. Make sure you got the author in there. Make sure you specify how many copies of whatever it is that you're giving out, just so we have all the information. You have to agree to a few things, and this is really important. Listen up, people. One is, at the end of the contest, I'm going to send you the names and addresses, or the name and address, depending on how many prizes that you donated, of a certain number of contest entrants, and you have to agree that you're going to mail your prizes directly to those persons, if, in fact, it's a physical prize to do that. And that's really important. And so part of knowing that is that you might live in one country and you might be randomly assigned to send a prize to someone in another country, which means it'll cost more in postage. So I let you know that up front because they're divided randomly, distributed randomly, and I it's not fair to everyone it's not possible really to match up contest entrance or contest sponsors with entrants only from their country, because different amounts of people from different countries enter. So you just have to agree that you might have to send your prize or prizes to people in a different country. You have to agree to send it out within 2 weeks of being notified, which will be roughly the end of September. The contest calendar hasn't been established yet. And most importantly, you have to agree to notify me that you've actually sent your prize out, which will give you a big thumbs up and thanks from me, as well as prevent you from receiving any annoying follow-up emails that say things such as, have you sent your prizes out? No one wants that. So there you go. So sign up. And what do you get out of it? Well, you get listed as a sponsor of the contest. You help to ensure that every single poetry contest entrant receives a prize just for entering, helping to make sure that our contest is one of the most unique ones that exists. And also, and this is kind of a nice bonus for you, you get a free classified ad in our classified ad section, which if you're on our email list, you know, we send out a newsletter every Saturday, and at the bottom of that is a list of poetry only related classified ads, and a lot of people read them, and a lot of people get attention for whatever it is that you're doing there. So you'll have a free classified ad for anything related to poetry, promoting your own book, a contest, a reading, whatever it is, for the duration of the contest. So that's every week for about 3 months, your ad will be in that newsletter, as well as in the classified ad section on the website, and of course listed as a sponsor in our initial correspondence and on the website as well. So that's it. That's what it means to be a Poetry Superhighway contest sponsor. The contest is going to start right around the beginning of July. Again, I haven't established the calendar yet because it's shifted a couple weeks from last year. So by the next time we have a Poetry Superhighway live show, I will know all the details. But now, today, ladies and gentlemen, is the time to sign up as a Poetry Superhighway contest sponsor. So go to our website and do that. Feel free, if you have any questions about that, feel free to call in and ask those as well. The number to call in, if you would like to call in and ask me questions about the contest or Poetry Superhighway or anything of that nature, is area code 646-716-7362. And of course, the most important thing I'd love for you to do is to call in and read a poem. We have no content or style restrictions. This is an open reading. It's all about you sharing poetry with our audience, not just the folks who are listening right now, but these shows are archived for forever, which means that even if someone isn't listening right now, they have the opportunity to hear you read your poem in the future. So, all right. By the way, you might have noticed that at the top of the Poetry Superhighway Live or Poetry Superhighway newsletter yesterday, I put out a call for submissions for MP3s, and I did get some responses, and I will be for sure today playing a spoken word track that was submitted just yesterday. So keep that in mind if you're interested in – we try to play a spoken word track at the half-hour point of every show, And those, we, you know, of course, you can just call in and read a poem. So we're not looking for an MP3 that's just a straight reading. It has to be something that's mixed with music or sound effects or something that, that augments it beyond just a straight reading. Even if it's a live track in front of an audience, which is in fact what I'll be playing today, it's the live audience which creates this extra element, which makes me feel okay about including it in the spoken word track segment of our show. So look forward to that in about 20 minutes or so. Alrighty, going to get to our first caller, ladies and gentlemen. Again, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. Our first caller is a blocked number. Hello, blocked number.
Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm good. Oh, this sounds like Alex from Canada.
You're very right.
Well, I should mail me some points, would you? I could use them for correctness.
You're getting very good on the accent thing, so that's good.
Thanks.
If it sounds like I have an accent, but I think it does, so.
A little bit, yeah, a little. Well, it's not so much. It's not the accent. It's although that helps, I suppose. It's just a familiarity with your voice, really, which could be any accent. Everyone has a unique way of speaking and a unique way they sound, regardless of whether they are perceived to have an accent by the people listening.
Absolutely, Rick. I have a really neat one to read to you today because. Within the last 3 years, both of my parents passed away. So my wife and I went to the cemetery. Thank you. My wife and I went to the cemetery the other day, and we planted flowers there, and we brought a candle, and we lit it. But as soon as we lit it, right on cue, two little brown squirrels came out from the forest in behind the cemetery. They came right around the grave, and then they went right up the tree beside us. And my wife goes right away, there's Mom and Dad, Alex. And it was really funny because they played in the branches for like 5 minutes. And then one came down, scampered down, almost like winking at us and ran off. And then one stayed up there and stayed on the branch and looking down at me and was just like a little squirrel would do. And was just going, chitty-chitty, like this. And I go, well, I love you and miss you too, Dad, but you don't have to give me heck. Everything's going good. Life is going good. So it was really beautiful. You know what I mean? You could feel the goosebumps on your arms. You knew because spirits are allowed to do that with animals, right? At times they're able to take over and to show their expressions through animals. So it's really beautiful when that happens. So
yeah.
And that's what I wrote about
amazing.
Today. What happened the other day, that's what I wrote about. So.
Cool, well, let's hear it.
Here it goes. It's called Forever Near. We went to light a candle to burn its essence in the memory of two special people. As we did so, two chirping squirrels did our gathering attend, whose spirits were no other than the two we came to honor, who we recognized right off the hop, humbled by their presence. They scampered up the tree, which was next to the grave, chittering about, playing amongst the branches. They came with a reason to thank us for all we'd done. It was us who were full of gratitude for this touching moment in time. We were just watching, so intently listening, as one came down and raced across, winking as she went. Father stayed up for a while longer, looking down upon us, chattering endlessly, as he had much to say, that here was a sign no barriers do stand between the sides of existence. Love makes all possible to share as we did, to remember a past still fresh in our hearts, as not a day goes by that we don't stop what we're doing to reminisce with those who remain forever near.
That's great.
I thought you'd really... It really touched me to write that the other day. So, I mean, it's a true story, and it's the magic of life if people are open-minded and they can believe in beautiful things like that. So,
yeah, that's amazing. You know, it's and maybe it was your parents hiking up that tree, but there's certainly – even if it wasn't, there's something special about – about our relationship with animals that obviously is not lost on you, and so it's really cool to hear that piece.
Absolutely, and thank you for letting me have the time to read it to you today and everybody else out there.
No problem. Anything, any poetry events or news you want to share with us happening up in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, just the readings that are going on at the library over the river in Sioux, Michigan, and stuff like that. Once a month, usually we go just to for, you know, the self-expression and stuff like that, and share with people and that. So beyond that, there's not a heck of a lot going on. The Arts Council, the Arts Society here is not into doing a lot right now. So
you could always start something.
Well, I hear you, my friend. I hear you. When time allows, and when I'm not so busy with a 9-year-old and stuff like that, maybe I can put some motion forward for that. So.
Well, no
but
pressure.
It would be cool to get you up here sometime and do a reading up here and stuff like that. It would open up a few doors and maybe more interest here in that for that. I know the university and that does their thing, but they don't open, and what's a real challenge, Rick, they don't open it up to the general public. So, like the library does, you know what I mean? Like the library advocates as far as advertising with opening up to the general public so anybody can come and read, whereas the university, they just keep it, you know, to themselves, kind of whatever, when they have their nights or whatever and do their stuff. So it's kind of hard to get a foot in the door when the door is not open. So
I hear you. Well, and thanks for the idea of the invitation. I will read anywhere, Canada, Michigan. You set it up, Alex, and I'll show up, and we'll have a grand old time.
Oh, now that I know that you'll come, Rick, that would be awesome.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Well, good to hear your voice as always, and I'll talk to you again.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Alex from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, right above Michigan. They're a regular caller here on Poetry Super Highway Live. Cool poem about those squirrels. It was not too long ago that we actually had a squirrel in our house here in Van Nuys, California. We had just come home from a trip, and I noticed the grating, the metal grating on the fireplace in the den. Why we have a fireplace in the middle of Van Nuys, I have no idea. But, you know, it does get as low as 58 degrees here. Yeah, it's kind of cold for us. And I thought, oh, well, I guess the cats just knocked it off while we were away. And we go to sleep. We don't think much of it. I'm sitting here in my office, and my kid, who's in the next room through windows, which are right next to me, says, "Dad, a squirrel." And my kid's almost 9, by the way. Alex, if you're still listening. So we same age, just about. And, you know, he's kind of a funny guy and a joker. And I'm thinking, oh, he set up a stuffed animal or something. You know, so I glance over there, and sure enough, there's a squirrel on top of the treadmill. And I'm thinking, okay, sure, he's playing some kind of joke. And then I look at it, and I say, man, that looks like that's a real squirrel. Where did you get that? A real-looking squirrel. And I go in there, and sure enough, it's a real live squirrel that had been in our house potentially for days. We discovered scratch marks in various parts of the house by windows and things, which clearly the squirrel was trying to get out. And my first thought was, I better try to feed it. Maybe it's hungry. So I go and get a carrot. This is why we have 5 cats in the house, all of whom came from outside. They just showed up at the door. Now they live here. My wife was not too happy that my first thought was to feed the squirrel. The squirrel did not want the carrot, so I eventually got a broom and opened up the sliding glass door, and it was very happy to be directed out into the yard, where I assume it's living a happy life, perhaps running a poetry reading that caters to other squirrels. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's my experience with squirrels. Feel free to tell us yours when you call in. The number to call in, by the way, is area code 646-716-7362. That's it. Our next caller is from the 520 area code. Hello, 520.
Hello there. This is Maggie Westland.
Hey, Maggie. How are you? Long time no talk.
I'm good. I moved to Arizona, so that's why you've got 520.
Well, that clears up the mystery.
Yes. I've missed being online, and I've been writing again. So
that's
shall
great.
I just
How's
jump
it,
in?
What, well, what, how did you, what brought you to Arizona?
Oh, my daughter and her family, my grandkids. Always. Family trumps everything.
Family. There you go. Right. Mom, yeah. Dad, we're moving and you're coming with us. I get it.
Right. Anyway, I was just listening to your previous poet talking about the death of his parents, and I'm going to read a poem because I like the sequence. It was from a prompt about what would it have been like if you didn't have cars when you were born, if they hadn't been invented yet. And I remembered that both of my grandparents, my grandfathers, were inexplicably, both of them were killed in automobile accidents before I was born or before I could know them. So I made my poem called Inventing Grandfathers.
Wow.
From the prompt, what if there were no cars when I was born? So do you want to hear it?
I do. Please.
Okay. Inventing grandfathers. What if there were no cars when I was born? I'd know what grandpas are. Have had the chance to sit on laps old bones or touch white speckled chins. Each Christmas would send special presents home to please the kids in them. I'd get a fire truck, toolkit, baseball bat, instead of frilly dresses meant for mass. Grandmas would have someone to hold their hands.
Oh, that's amazing. It's what a sweet poem, Maggie. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, so may I ask what city you've arrived at in Arizona?
I'm in Tucson.
Tucson.
Yeah.
I know it from the Paul Simon song.
Yeah.
Though I forget what song that is. I know he says Tucson, Arizona. That's a silly thing to say. Have you discovered a poetry community
Tucson,
there?
Tucson, Arizona, don't forget Winona. No, that's Flagstaff.
That's
Route 66.
That's Route 66. That's not,
I know.
Not the Paul Simon.
I know. Anyway, do you have time for me to read another one?
Well, I want to I asked you a question about have you discovered a poetry community in Tucson?
Yes, there's a very thriving poetry community here. There are multiple things to do, and the University of Arizona has an amazing archive of poetry, for example, and they have a whole building that is nothing but poetry, and they hold poetry readings and poetry classes. And oddly enough, it's a library, but you can't take the books out. They make you go there to read them. It's an archive. It's part of their, history department or something. So it's meant for research. It's the biggest research facility for poetry that I'm aware of.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, because I know, I asked specifically because I haven't really thought about poetry in Tucson before, but I'm always curious as to you never know if someone else from Tucson happens to be listening who has no idea what else is going on in their own town. But in particular, I also ask because I know you come from here in Southern Cal, and which has which as you know has an extraordinarily thriving poetry community, which you were a big part of, in particular in your neck of the woods and then Ventura and that, et cetera. So I just wanted to make sure you there
and
wasn't
the Cobalt. I don't forget the Cobalt.
Oh, I remember that place. I do.
Yeah. But there's a lot of other stuff here. There's a section of downtown where there's all sorts of places that do poetry readings in bars and restaurants. And there's a lot. It's plenty. It's different from California, but it's thriving, believe me. So anybody that wants to come over here, they can find it.
Cool. Well, in terms of reading a second one, do you have something that's kind of short?
Yeah, I do have a short one. It's called Survival Guide.
Go for it.
Where you are. and also directions by starlight, no language and gestures of palm and the calm between storms. Forget all manner of manners and rules except road signs. Savor old sighs that resemble the comfort of babies in arms. Remember your name and the name of the streetcar that takes you back home to the place you were born and reborn. Take care and abandon all worn-out instructions and sneakers. Take a chance on tomorrows and races that cannot be won.
Very nice. As always. Thanks. Well, Maggie, it's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're doing well in your new place. And how long have you been in Tucson, by the way?
Almost 2.5 years.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So you're used to it by now, I should say.
I am, and I really love it here.
Cool. Well, we're still holding the candle for you here in Southern Cal, you should know.
And
on the internet.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, talk to you again sometime. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Maggie Westland, newly from Tucson, Arizona. Not only someone I knew from here in Southern Cal, where she lived not too long ago, but a participant in Poetry Superhighway stuff. Maggie was a winner and judge of past Poetry Superhighway Live contests. So she's a legacy here at Poetry Superhighway. You can be too. Anyone can be a legacy. You just have to show up. You know what I'm saying? It's not that hard to get in. But a wonderful writer. Good to hear your voice again, Maggie. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in for you to read poetry here live to our potential audience of billions of people. Anyone with an internet connection can tune in. That's like at least 600 people, I think. So be brave. Call in and read your poem. Tell us about your new book of poetry. Tell us about a reading that you run. Tell us about your poetry contest. Whatever you'd like. Your website. It's all about exposing as many people to as many other people's poetry as possible. The number is 646-716-7362. Our next caller is a blocked number. Hello, blocked number.
Hello, Rick. This is Michael in Birmingham. How are you doing?
Hey, Michael. I'm good. How are you?
I'm staying busy. May I offer a quick suggestion, constructive comment?
Sure.
On the format of the show, would you rather maybe not?
You can offer any suggestion you want, Michael. I can't promise
okay.
I'm going to
implement
it. But let's hear it.
And I know that you had to say the things that you say, but I noticed that about the first 10 minutes of the show, at least maybe 12, is info. That's information. And I know that's important. But couldn't that also be on the website and otherwise, and maybe the poetry could begin like maybe 5 minutes after the hour instead of maybe 10 or 15 after the hour?
It certainly could.
It's just a comment. Was that?
It certainly could, but, it's important information, and so for people who listening who might not be on the website or might have never been on the website, I think it's important to, half of what we do on the show is allow people to share info about poetry and poetry opportunities. And so I like to open up the show, letting people know what that is. And also, I've noticed that people tend to tune in a little bit later. I don't always have that many listeners or callers right at the beginning of the show. So this provides a buffer, which allows people to kind of get on board and start listening to the show when they might not be there yet. So that it's twofold the purposes of doing that. I thank you very much for tuning in right away at the beginning. And I'm sorry if you're finding the information not as useful or interesting, and you want to get right to the poetry, which I totally understand. But we're probably not going to make that change at this point.
Okay, the first caller read about the passing of his parents, and I think that's happened before with that same caller, so I think this is timely. What I like about May is Mother's Day, and then on the 18th is the anniversary of my mother's birth. And so what I've written today It used to be called The Heart Does Go On, which is a reference to the Celine Dion song, which is the theme from the Titanic movie. And my mother used to love that movie for that song because she believed in that, and also for that last scene, which is visionary. So this used to be titled The Heart Does Go On. Then I thought, well, be a little more creative with it. And it came to The Heart Does Not Go Down with the Ship. Bodies estranged, yet the heart and soul keep in unison. Funerals pretend the end, but there is no ending. Exit to enter, not to enter. Murmurs, not mummies. Even topsy-turvy, M-O-M, continues W-O-W. Mom continues wow. Moms over moms. Up and ran off with an outlaw, the one and only who broke the law of mortality. Eloping from her hospice bed, a launching pad for the miracle lift. Into your hands, there is no reaper to fear, only the savior of your opera. From maternity to eternity, the heart is not earthbound. Her joy continues to rhythm and rhyme with her boy. I am her strong torch song. We come to the Father by way of the Son, but there is no Son without the Mother. Ruth's Son song, from the one breath, you'll always hear our voice through the night, hearing with the ear straight from the heart. I am with you always. Her voice, safe, surround sounds me on earth as it is in heaven. Catch the wind, but they'll never catch the breath of us, cause you won't find the living looking among the dead. The Lord's kingdom is not of this world. I find her expecting me there too, in the nursery of our Father. The law without a by. In the nursery of our Father, the law without a by.
Great, Michael. Thank you for sharing that. Good to know that. I don't know if you were planning on reading that, or if you picked it because of the what Alex read earlier about his parents.
No, it was
from Canada.
It was serendipitous. I planned on reading this particular poem this very day. So serendipity, poetic coincidence.
Interesting. I you know how much of a coincidence, a relevant coincidence this is, but Celine Dion is, of course, Canadian, and Alex, who read that first poem, is also from Canada. It's these small connections, I think, which are fascinating, but very cool, serendipity.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that she's a Canadian because, I do like the connection there. And the word relative that you use, relative, because we look at the word relative related. Yes. Hello, you there?
I sure am.
Okay, I got a slight interruption. Well, look, I know you have other callers, and I hope you didn't mind me mentioning that observation, but I just mentioned it because... Well, maybe that's why some people don't tune in until a little later, because the first is like, you know, the information, which is important. I'm not saying that. And, you know, sometimes it is relative to what I need to hear, like when you have calls for submissions, et cetera. I just didn't know if you'd ever observed that or if it ever been brought to your attention.
I'll keep it in mind, and thank you.
Yeah, maybe you can streamline it down to maybe half the amount of time. And also, well, it was good speaking with you today in celebration of my mother. And also, I hope to speak to you. When's the show next month?
June 18th.
All right, then. Open reading?
Yep.
I hope to listen and to participate. You have a good month.
Thanks. You too, Michael, from Birmingham, Alabama. Good to hear your voice. As always, Michael calls in almost every month. And shares his work and thoughts with us. Yeah, I guess, you know what, if a lot of people don't want to hear the information I have to tell you at the beginning, I could streamline it and not give it to you. I just figure, you know, very often at the very beginning of the show, I think I started doing it because it took people a while for the callers to come along. So that's why I, you know, wanted to fill that time. And it's relevant information to poetry, etc. This is one of the avenues which we give news to folks about what's going on in poetry. And since half of our callers, it's not just reading a poem, it's you giving news about what's going on in your world. That really happens throughout the whole show. And I don't think we want to give that up. We want people to be able to share as much information about what's going on in poetry as possible. So, all right. We're going to get to our next caller in a minute. We've got a good chunk of time. So if you want to call in and read a poem, the number is 646-716-7362. As I mentioned earlier, and as we do at the half-hour mark of the show every month, as long as we have something new, I try to play a spoken word track. I put out a call for submissions in the Poetry Superhighway newsletter yesterday, actually, and I received a few submissions, and so I'm going to play a short track. This is a live piece from Bill Yarrow. I'm not sure where Bill's from, doesn't mention that in his email, but he sent me a few tracks. This is a live track. It's from his book, The Vig of Love, from Glass Lear Press, came out last year, and this is the poem, The Basement of Desire.
This one is called The Basement of Desire. Sooner or later, you realize that all the leftover wood you've been saving, all the scraps of PVC pipe in the utility closet, all the plumbing nuggets you squirreled away, all the used sandpaper, loose roofing nails, railroad spikes, iron filings, copper battery caps, coils of solder, cylinders of tin, tariffs of glue, single hinges, tubs of bulbs, nylon cord, bladeless hacksaws, rusted caulk guns, bent nails, blunt screws, broken hammers, brittle gaskets, sleeves of galvanized washers, leftover shims, insulation kits, cans of mineral spirits, screen door hardware, drawers of squeeze nozzles, noxious solvents, the whole haberdashery of plastic pieces, sheathing connectors, and containers is just a metaphor of shifting meaning, representing sequentially and recursively your childhood, your body, your marriage, and your mind.
Right, that was the spoken word track, The Basement of Desire, from Bill Yarrow, who I just looked up while this track was playing. He's from Lincolnwood, Illinois, and I am loading up a map even as we speak to give you a better idea of where that is in case you are not from Illinois. Looks like it's in the Chicago area. It's a suburb of Chicago, Lincolnwood, Illinois. Bill is a professor of English at Joliet Junior College in that area, and that particular piece that he just read is from the book The Vig of Love from Glass Lear Press in 2016. It's got a few other books out. Blasphemer came out in 2015 on Litfest Press, this is kind of interesting, The Lice of Christ from Mad Hat Press 2014. And my new favorite press name, in 2011, Bill had a book out called 14 from Naked Mannequin Press. Those are my favorite kinds of mannequins, really. You can find out more from Bill at his website, which is billyarrow.wordpress.com. It's billyarrow. So thanks, Bill, for sending in some spoken word pieces, tracks for us to listen to. And again, would like to echo that call for submissions for you. If you've got a spoken word track, now I differentiate this from you just calling in and reading a poem. So this has to be a recording. It's either a live recording where the interaction and reaction of the audience is what creates the extra element, which makes it something different from you just calling in and reading a poem on the show, because, of course, anyone can just call in and read a poem. Or it's something that you've mixed with sounds and music. Maybe it's a more studio quality recording. It doesn't have to be super professional. It's just something that where you've augmented the reading of the poem with something else, sound effects, music, etc. Or, like I said, it could be a live track as well. You can listen to previous Poetry Superhighway live shows if you're interested to see other examples of spoken word tracks that we've played. I actually have a whole spoken word album that I just put out last year. It's called Rick Lupert Live and Dead. Go to my website, poetrysuperhighway.com, and you'll see it right there near the top. And it features 25 tracks. About half of those are studio tracks. Those are just as I described, mixed with sounds and music, recorded with a studio microphone that sound, I think, pretty cool. And the other half are live tracks, which are pieces that were recorded at various open mics around Southern California, actually a few in Wisconsin now that I think about it. I spend some time there every year. You can buy it digitally if you're interested. Get the whole thing MP3s. You can buy the tracks individually, or you can get a physical copy of the CD as well. Hey, as long as I'm tooting my own horn, I might as well mention that I've got these three new poetry books out, which came out in December on Rothko Press, three travel poetry books, Professor Clown on Parade, one which was written in Vermont a couple of summers ago, about being there, the book Romancing the Blarney Stone, written in Ireland a couple of summers ago, and written last summer, the book Donut Famine, written in New Orleans last summer. So all three of those books just came out in December. They're all available individually everywhere. Fine books are sold, Amazon, etc. But if you buy all three of them directly from my website, I will actually just not only give you a big discount on buying all three, but I will give you for free the entire spoken word CD. So you can either get the physical CD or a digital download, your choice. So that special is right on my website as well if you're interested. But there I go talking about myself, which I didn't really intend to do. But I fall into that trap so easily. I want you to call in and talk about yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We've got about 18 minutes left in the show. The number is 646-716-7362. Thank you, Bill Yarrow, for sending in those the spoken word tracks that you did. And we might be able to play more in the future. Check him out on the web. Again, the number for you to call in is 646-716-7362. Our next caller is from the 805 area code. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Virginia Mariposa Dale of the Poetry Zone.
Oh, well, hello, Virginia.
How are you?
I'm glad you figured out how to call in. I'm good.
Well, I saw the phone number.
That's just how it works.
Anyway.
Tell me what city you're
from. Pardon me?
Tell me what city you're calling from.
Could you repeat that?
Yes. What city are you calling from?
Santa Barbara, where you are going to be giving a reading on June 11th at the Carpelles Manuscript Museum. You are giving a reading for us at the Carpelles Manuscript Museum, 21 West Anapamu, on June 11th, Sunday, June 11th. Rick Lupert will be with us in Santa Barbara.
I'm very excited about that. I can't wait.
I just thought I'd advertise it.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You never know how many people from Southern California or Santa Barbara or somewhere between L.A. and Santa Barbara are listening or now putting that on their calendar as the event of the century.
It is. I mean, this is their big chance. And we are writing poems about the museum. I mean, we're actually writing poems that they're going to frame and put on the wall in the museum. So you have a chance to have your poem on a fabulous museum's wall. It's really incredible in there.
I love reading that at museums and art galleries, because I always feel when I'm the invited guest, I'm therefore entitled to take any painting I want home.
Uh-huh. Well, you're going to be, anyway, you're going to love this museum. It's got an actual life-size dinosaur in there, among other things. Many manuscripts.
Really?
Yes, copy of the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, Sojourner Truth, Ain't I a Woman. I've got them talking to each other in my poem.
That's amazing. I have not been to this museum, and I'm very the way it's not just an art museum. It's a natural history museum and a history museum as well.
No. It's a manuscript. It's old manuscripts that they have gone around and bought because they think that the written word is fading and important. So to make it to highlight its importance, they've built 8 museums throughout the country. And they're just manuscripts that they do have art also on the walls, and they've had the Apollo space suit. I mean, they have it's an incredible museum. Anything germane to the history of the world can pass through this museum, and some things are in permanence, of course.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to see the dinosaur for sure.
You can't miss the dinosaur. Anyway, the manuscripts are pretty awesome, too. And, I know you want a short poem. I have humorous poems. I have political poems. I have a really short poem about my mother.
It doesn't have to be a short poem. I asked our previous caller to do a short one because she was doing a second one. So I don't typically allow a second poem. So it could be any length of poem. But, you know, if you want to do a second one, it would have to be a short one. So whatever
you would like to
share with us, go for it.
Okay, well, I wrote this one back in 2007. It's a little outdated, but considering North Korea is close to developing a missile with the capacity to deliver a small nuclear warhead to the United States, yes, it's true. They just delivered one to Seoul in Korea. The Koreans were not happy. Just a missile, no warhead in it yet. But anyway, they do have a crazy dictator there, of course. Totally, totally, you know, crazy. So I've written one called Shriek in the Allen Ginsberg tradition. Not quite up to Allen Ginsberg standards, but here goes. This bankrupt country run by a stone-faced madman as he stampedes through Baghdad, devouring souls like shish kebabs, while his trigger-happy henchmen skewer whole generations with uranium. Let them eat yellow cake, his power lust unbridled, while he hurls biblical epithets at the cross-legged mullahs in abducted Tehran. The blood of his countrymen pools and stagnates while he ignites yet another dirty bomb with a crazed look of sleepless pleasure that the prophet Allen Ginsberg would have recognized. The planet spins another dizzying revolution while the gangrenous prophets wide-eyed on crack cocaine, whatever chemical substance, and yes, there's oil money that gets you high. The tortured minions heave and thrust, sweat sustained by blood lust. Just one more smart bomb, a turn of the screw between Arab and Jew until the wound-up world spins havoc like a drunken president, while saints and sinners shriek and jive, go down in flames, give the high five. Who on earth will be alive when they let the all-consuming nuclear fart and call it high art, while the professors genuflect and shrive, wearing their finely wrought theses to hell. Angels laugh and titillate, their platoons heave, ululate, curse their gods, wonder aloud, who was responsible for the fate of the green and blue planet? Poor lovely orb, spinning, spinning, spinning in the exponential universe, while Jesus and Muhammad hold hands with Mary Magdalene, Hadisha, and Fatima, skipping out a hip-hop beat. They never meant to generate such heat. Just an enlightened celestial crew, wondering what happened to their message of brotherly, sisterly love, of peace and redemption. Why bother to hang on a cross for 3 days when it doesn't matter anyway? when you're just going to be used by lesser minds to try to bind man and womankind to a fate no prophet worth his silver words ever had in mind. That's it.
Wow, Virginia, that was stellar. Very cool. Frightening time to be living in. My wife and I are heading to Seattle this summer for vacation, Portland and Seattle. And shortly after we planned this trip, I just saw in the news that Seattle is the closest city to North Korea.
Yeah. It is. They're aiming. They're going to develop one that will go as far as Seattle. They're talking about Guam right now. But anyway, you know, there is other stuff in the news that obliterates it. But really, this is the number one issue of the day. It's nuclear bombs. And, you know, if you've read Rachel Carson Soylent Green, nuclear winters don't allow anything to grow. Nobody survives a nuclear bomb. People think, oh, well, it's just a little bomb. No. It fries the earth. I mean, anyway. But I don't want to be pessimistic. I could read a humorous one, but I'll save that for the poetry zone.
Well, if you want to do another short one, I'd say go for it.
Okay, I'll do a short, sweet one. This was for Mother's Day. My mother gave. My mother offers me a red ripe apple, round, succulent, and sweet, just as she offered me her young woman's breast, her firstborn, her first gift. The apple nourishes me, just as her sweet love nourished me, never asking, always giving.
Sweet.
Yes, Mother's
Virginia,
Day.
do you have a and fits in with the theme that started the show. We had a gentleman. I don't know if you were listening yet, but our first caller read a poem for his parents, and then another previous caller also picked up on that theme as well. So it's the unofficial theme of the day.
I guess so. It must still be Mother's Day or Parents' Day. Let's include
Could fathers be too.
Well, we're close to Father's Day.
We are indeed. We are indeed. That's in fact our next Poetry Superhighway live show is on Father's Day, June 18th. Which I was hesitant to schedule for that day, having a child, but I guess we'll just do brunch early so that way I could get back and do the show because there wasn't any other available date. So do you have a website or anything people can check out if they want to see more of your work?
Not a poetry website. I do have an art website.
Go for it.
www.rebelheartart.com, as in
Rebel
Heart, you know.
Yep.
rebelheartart.com. But I'm more of a poet than an artist.
Well, poetry is an art, so it all goes hand in hand. Well, Virginia, I'm very much looking forward to meeting you next month, and I'm so excited that you could call in and read poems for us today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to talk to you because now I'm getting a feeling of, you know, of your mellifluous, sweet voice. What a sweet, kind person you are. I'm really, we're going to have a great time. Plus, we have to get our manuscript on the wall. I mean, our poem on the wall of the Karpeles Manuscript Museum, which is just awesome. 21 West Anapamu in Santa Barbara, folks. Check it out. June 11th at 2 p.m. Rick will be there.
I personally will be there. It's going to be me, you, and
you
a dinosaur.
It'll be a ménage à trois. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, thank you for hosting this cool superhighway, poetry superhighway. I mean, I had no idea how it would work, but it's fun. And poetry should be fun.
I still don't know how it works. It should be. All right, well, Virginia, see you soon, and thanks for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure, and I can't wait to meet you on June 11th.
Likewise. All right, that was Virginia calling from Virginia Mariposa Dale calling from Santa Barbara, California, who was so nice to invite me to read there next month. I'm really looking forward to driving up to Santa Barbara to read and to meet people and to see this amazing space that she's talking about, a museum full of manuscripts and dinosaurs. Finally, the two together. We've all been waiting for this to happen. There were no manuscripts during the actual dinosaur time. Really, it was the dinosaurs who've been waiting longer than anyone for manuscripts, etc. So, all right, well, we have a few minutes. I'm not sure if you want to call in right now. We can get you on the air and get a short poem in. Number is 646-716-7362. Otherwise, I will just mention that our next show, as I've stated, is on Sunday, June 18th. That is Father's Day, so that doesn't necessarily need to be the theme of the day, but it certainly could be if you have poems that fit the day that it is. So it's Sunday, June 18th at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time, and that's all the math I'm willing to do for you, so you figure it out otherwise. Set your clock, and the event is already up on the Blog Talk Radio page, so you can get reminders of the time in your own time zone if you don't feel like doing time zone math. And as I mentioned also at the beginning of the show, we are eagerly accepting donations from people who are interested in being sponsors of the Summer Poetry Superhighway Poetry Contest. It's our 20th annual contest. Our goal is to give every single person a prize just for entering. You can enter the contest with a minimum of one poem. It's only $1 per poem to enter. You can enter as many as you want. The contest isn't open for entries yet, but just to let you know that it's a pretty accessible contest. And as we've done in the past, we've been able to give every single person a prize just for entering, thanks to the generosity of our many sponsors. All of the info on how to sponsor and what you're required to do and what you get for being a sponsor is on the Poetry Superhighway website at poetrysuperhighway.com or /PSH if you want to go right to it. Otherwise, click on the Poetry Superhighway banner on the right side of the page when you get there. You're probably aware we publish two poets online every single week, Poets of the Week. This week, the week of May 22nd through 28th, our poets are Doug Elson from Chapleau, Ontario, Canada, and Jim Bobway from Encinitas, California. We've published poets every week for the last 21 years. This is our 20th year. That's right, this is our 20th year. It'll be 21 at the end of the year. There, that's me doing more math for you. And you can read every poet we've ever published online just by clicking on the poetry menu, and then it says Past Poets Archive, and you can see them by year. We started in the year 1997, where our very first poet was Alex Papanikolopoulos. I published one poet a week for the first couple of weeks, and then very quickly, because I realized I was getting so many submissions right from the beginning, I moved to two poets of the week, and I've been doing that ever since 1997. So there you go. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rick Lupert. Our next show is June 18th. Thank you so much to Alex from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, for calling in and reading the poem. Thanks to Maggie Westland from Tucson, Arizona, a recent-ish transplant from Southern California. Michael from Birmingham, Alabama, for, as always, calling in and offering suggestions. Thank you to Bill Yarrow for sending spoken word tracks that we could choose from to play as well. Really enjoyed your piece, The Basement of Desire, live recording. Send in your MP3 tracks, people. We want to play yours next time. And thanks again to Virginia Mariposa Dale, who just called in from Santa Barbara, California. We'll talk to you next month. Have a good one.